Welcome to the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange. Today's topic is WebSphere Service Registry and Repository, Common Installation Topics and Resolution. Today's presenters are Prasad Imadi and Kailash Perry. Prasad is a senior software engineer working in Level 2 support and has expertise in multiple WebSphere products in the SOA space. Prasad works with customers worldwide with focus on integration problems as well as works on product troubleshooting issues. Kailash works with AIM customer support organization supporting WebSphere service registry and repository and WebSphere message broker products. He has been working with WSRR for the past 3 years, providing support resolution to customer issues worldwide. At this point in time, I would like to pass the presentation over to Prasad and Kailash.
Thank you, Joseph. Good day, everyone. This is Prasad Imadi, and I have Kailash with me. And today, we want to thank you for joining us for this webcast on the topic of WSRR common installation issues and resolutions. This presentation is actually a continuation to a presentation, a WebSphere technical exchange that we delivered on October 25th, where we talked about WSRR installation in detail, and that technical exchange is titled A to Z of Installation of Installing WebSphere Service Registry and Repository. So if you have not listened to that presentation, I would recommend that you know it is posted on the technical exchange site. I'd recommend you take some time to go back to go and look at it. We could not get the installation and the common problems together within an hour, so we decided to split it up into two parts. With that little preface, what we're going to cover today is the focus is on common installation topics, common installation problems, and the resolutions. This is information that we've captured working with the users extensively. Much of the information is focused around the latest 7.5 release, though we'll be happy to take any questions if you have on previous releases. Moving on to chart 2, the agenda for this presentation is very simple. We're going to start with looking at the logs that the product uses for installation, and then after that, we're going to cover common problems. The logs are pretty much the first point to look at, not just during troubleshooting, but also during common operations. And at this point, I'd like to turn over to Kailash to cover, to actually start the presentation and talk to us about the logs.
Thank you, Prasad. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are. Thanks for joining us. My name is Kailash. Let's start off on slide number 3, where we talk about the logs. As Prasad mentioned, if you have installed WSRR, as most of you know, under the covers, WSRR uses Installation Manager. So the first point of troubleshooting, whenever you have issues, what we ask for is the Installation Manager logs. The Installation Manager keeps all its logs in a directory, what Installation Manager team refers to as agent data. These are a bunch of XML files, and the agent data location differs from platform to platform. And as I listed on the slide, on Windows XP, if you're using Windows XP, it'll be in your Documents and Settings folder under All Users Application Data IBM Installation Manager directory. If you're on Windows 7 or Windows 2008, it'll be under Program Data IBM Installation Manager logs directory. If you're on Unix platforms, based on the user ID that you are. If you are a non-root user ID, it will be under your home directory. There will be a var IBM installation manager logs directory. And if you are installing it as a root, it will be under /var/IBM installation manager logs. As I said, these are a bunch of XML files. It's not very easy to decipher them, so what we typically ask customers to do is either zip up or tar up the entire directory so that we can wade through those files or have IM team to have a crack at them. But if you go under the directories and if you look at the XML files, you will see a bunch of data or text which will give you a fairly good idea of what is happening under the covers or what errors you're facing. And moving on to WSRR install logs, if there is no problem with the installation manager, but during WSRR installation or augmentation, if you encounter any problems, WSRR installer writes the logs on Unix and Linux platforms to /temp/logs WSRR directory install.log. And the same thing on Windows, based on wherever your temp directory is, it will be under temp, referred to here by the environment variable, logs, WSRR, install.log. The install.log is a fairly textual description, and it will record all the events that happened during the installation phase. So if you go from top to bottom, you will see what has happened, and that's one of the logs that we request customers to send us in case of problems if they encounter. Moving on to slide 4, if you're using a silent installation after you install WSRR, we will ask you to either create or augment WAS profiles. So the manage profiles command logs all these events in on Unix systems under the WAS install directory logs manage profiles. There will be a log manage profiles.log there. And on Windows, again, like it will be in the WAS installed there under logs manage profiles. And also, if you are having issues with the profiles itself, under the profile directory, there will be a logs directory where you'll have a bunch of log files that we normally ask customers to send us. Along with these logs, we also ask customers to send us their WAS systemout.log, systemerror.log, and any FFDCs that are generated so that we can look at those log files and determine the sequence of events and then what's going on, what is recorded in the systemout.log to find out where we are at the installation process or if you're augmenting or creating profiles, what has happened during that augmentation or profile creation. With that said, let's move on to slide number 5. As you all know, WSRR installation starts off with the launch pad. If you see the errors, supported web browser not found, or the launch pad cannot start, typically this happens if you do not have a compatible web browser installed on your system. Launch pad is a web application, so it needs a web browser. So make sure that if you're on Unix systems, you either have Mozilla Firefox 3.5 or later, or on Windows systems, Internet Explorer 7 or later is installed. Moving on to the next error, if you're on Unix or Linux operating systems, if you see the error, it says Bash interpreter not found, make sure that you have the Bash shell installed because WSRR under the covers, all the installation scripts use Bash scripts. Though Bash is required, you don't necessarily need to run Launchpad from the Bash shell itself. You can run from a regular bone shell or corn shell or whatever shell of your choice, but we look for Bash shell because we need to execute those scripts under the covers. Okay? Let's move on to slide number 6. Continuing with Launchpad errors, Launchpad, when it comes up, it does a bunch of prerequisite checks. So one of the checks that it does on Unix systems is it looks at the ULimit settings. If you have a ULimit less than 20,000, Launchpad generates an error saying current system has detected a lower level of U-limit. Please increase the U-limit. And the URL that I have given here, the section TWSRR setting U-limit.html, we clearly document for each and every Unix flavor on how to set the U-limit settings and what you need to do and what is the value that you need to set, so on and so forth. Once you set your U-limit, I believe that requires a system restart for it to take effect. The next error, common error that you might encounter if you're using Launchpad on Unix systems is if it says it requires GTK libraries for running IBM Installation Manager, make sure that you have GTK libraries, or if you have GTK libraries installed, make sure that they are at the appropriate level that is required for the product. And that's also documented in the Info Center. So if you go to the Info Center and search for GTK, we'll give you the levels of libraries. And the other error most customers hit into is Java lang unsatisfied linker error. This is also tied to missing 32-bit GTK libraries. Suppose you are installing on a 64-bit WAS installation or 64-bit operating system. Even then, we require 32-bit GTK libraries. So make sure that the GTK libraries that you have are not 64-bit, but 32-bit. Okay? Let's move on to slide number 7. On Windows systems, I have had a bunch of customers come to me and say that the typical installation hangs on Windows 7 or Vista or 2008. This is one tricky problem that we have seen in the lab, and when we tried to recreate, we could never try to recreate, basically because by the time Windows updates were installed, so Installation Manager, the Launchpad itself is tightly coupled with the IE engine. So we could never debug this because we don't have the IE code with us. But one of the common things that has been done to resolve this error is making sure that all your Windows updates are up to date and you have your Internet Explorer at the latest version with all the updates. And if you are on Windows 7 or Vista or 2008, make sure that you're running Launchpad or Launchpad64.exe with administrator privileges. You can right-click on Launchpad in Windows Explorer and say Run as Administrator. That will also resolve the problem most of the time. And even if that does not work, we normally ask customers to go the instead of typical installation to go the custom installation route, and custom install has worked with every customer. And the next error that I have seen most of the time, the profile creation failure with embedded DB2 Express on Unix and Linux platforms. If you are running a typical install, as you all know, it's a one-click install. We install DB2 Express and configure it and install WSRR. So what we do is we use port number 50,000 to connect to DB2. If for any reason the typical install fails, next time when you install WSRR using typical installation, the port number gets incremented by 1. So DB2 will not be able to connect to port number 50,000, which we require. So make sure that you look at your HCI services and look at the port number that DB2 is configured for and change it to 50,000. Also, most of the customers who are on 64-bit platforms have often opened a PMR saying, once WSRR is installed, we don't see the profile management tool. Profile management tool is only available on 32-bit WAS installations. So if you're on 64-bit WAS, profile management tool is not available, the GUI tool, so you would need to run manage profiles command. And we have extensive information in the Information Center how to use managed profiles and what are the response files that you need to use for managed profiles commands. All right, let's move on to slide number 8. Another error that most commonly customers come up with or report to us is on Unix platforms, the TAR expansion errors. One of the things WSRR is packaged with is long path names, because these days, if you're using Java, the package names like, you know, go more than like 64, even like 128 characters. And if you expand the image, the WSRR image, using the legacy TAR, it cannot handle long path names. So what you need to do is you need to use GNU TAR for that, and you need to download GNU TAR from gnu.org software TAR directory and install GNU TAR and expand or extract the contents using GNU TAR. Recently, one of the customers who was using the WESP registry edition came up and like said, okay, I'm getting a create class shell not found error, which obviously was tied to this TAR expansion error. I was kind of surprised, like, you know, how a create class shell could not be executed tied to this, but the shell script in turn was referencing some of the long path name files. I think I must have included this in the next slide, create class shell dot not found error. All right, let's move on to slide number 9. If you're installing WSRR on an existing WAS installation and you have installed or upgraded WAS to a level greater than FixPack 17, you might see installation errors if you're using the WSRR media and you do not have internet access. The reason for that is WSRR, when it is packaged, we package up to WAS FixPack level 17, and we include all the WAS sync directories that the installation manager needs for WAS up to FixPack 17. So if you're installing on WAS FixPack 19 or greater, we will not have those WAS sync directories under the repositories directory. So we flag that as an error. So what you would need to do is, either you need to, like, download, if you have internet access, Installation Manager obviously goes to the internet and downloads those WAS sync repositories for you. If you do not have internet access, you would need to go to this URL that I have listed on this slide and download the WAS sync repositories into a temporary location and modify your Installation Manager repository to point to this location. And then when you install, it will read those repositories from this location, and it will import WAS into IAM. All right? Let's move on to slide number 10. Some of the common profile augmentation and configuration errors. If you are augmenting WSRR to an existing WAS profile, you need to look at, like, the profile augmentation log to find out whether the augmentation has succeeded or it was a partial success or a failure. And if the augmentation is completely, like, completed and it's successful, at the end of the augmentation log, you will see an XML tag which says instconf success. And for any reason, if it's a partial success, that means the augmentation failed for any reason, or the WSRR has been augmented but with some errors, then you'll see an instconf partial success. And similarly, if the augmentation failed for any reason, it'll record instconf failure, and there will be errors in your system out.log, which we need to look at. And the log files that you need to check are located in your WAS installer logs, manage profiles, profile name directory. The three logs that are of importance for us from a PMR standpoint or a troubleshooting standpoint are augment.log, configwsrr.ant.log, because we run some ant scripts under the covers, and similarly configwsrrdb.ant.log files. All right, let's move on to slide 11, and I am going to hand over control to Prasad for him to take through the other slides.
Thanks, Kailash. So what Kailash has covered for us till now is all the logs that WSRR uses during installation and also during operations. And we've looked at the logs for Installation Manager as well. The one point I'd like to make is WSRR, as you know by now, it's a WAS-based product. It's a WAS application. So the logs are pretty much within the install, the same location as WebSphere uses. This is a very standard log directories. For example, the profile logs are the logs in the root installation directory for managed profiles. They're all pretty standard WebSphere log locations, and it's important to check the profile logs more specifically. For example, the systemout.log. Every once in a while, I always recommend users to check this log just to make sure you don't have any glaring exceptions or errors. And if you do, you can see exactly what is logged, what is the exception, which would provide a better insight into what could be going on. Moving on, we are on chart 11 for those of you who are using the PDF file. I'd like to cover a few database-related problems that we have seen repeatedly, and these exceptions mostly would be occurring in the systemout.log for the WSRR profile or the managed profile log. WSRR, specifically if you are creating a profile and your database is remote, you will have to create the database on the remote machine. You cannot use the managed profiles or the profile management tool in that specific scenario. You cannot go with the option of create a new database as a part of creating the profile because the database is remote and the scripts cannot run a create database functionality on a remote machine. So keep in mind that if your database is remote, the way you have to install WSRR is by having profile management tool or the managed profiles generate the database scripts for you, or the scripts are available in the install directory. They're provided as well, and you can take those scripts to the remote machine and create the database and run the scripts to create all the table spaces and the schemas and the tables. So the first point the exception GSR 9015E occurs if you're trying to create a new database, if you have selected that option and your database is remote. And there's a second point to make here, which is if you have your database locally to WSRR installation, you must have, specifically for DB2, you must have a loopback connection defined so the scripts can actually loop back to the local host and run the creation part of the database and subsequently the connection and create the table. So that's important to note. If you don't have that loopback defined, then this would fail with this specific exception. Moving on to the next database exception that we'll come across. If you are, this is an exception specifically if you're creating or installing WSRR and the database is already existing, as in there's some residual table spaces that are still existing for a previous database, which is not being cleaned up, and so the installation, the creation of the database at the point fails because it finds an inconsistency within your database. And this is again specific to DB2, but yet the same. I see the similar situation can occur with other databases as well, where you're trying to create a database, and it fails because there is something not correct in the environment.
And this is very specific to, this cannot be viewed as a WSRR problem, but yet, since we provide scripts to create the database, you can say some users might have the view that WSRR should be able to handle it, but the scope of this specific problem is pretty much outside of WSRR, and it can occur with any inconsistency within your database system. Moving on to chart 12, and the next exception that is related to WSRR, this is again an exception that could occur within the system out.log, and the exception is GSR 5000, and it's specifically related to the data source exception that WSRR uses, and this could occur if there is a concurrency problem, and specifically using DB2 9.7. So it is recommended that you set the two DB2 variables. This is DB2 skip inserted and DB2 skip deleted. Both of them must be set to on if you are on DB2. And if you don't have this variable set, you can see a variety of problems. And if you see this exception in the database in your system out.log, then the first thing that you want to check is if you have these two parameters set on your DB2 or not. Moving on to chart 13, yet another database-related problem. WSRR requires, and this is mandatory, it requires the code page for your database, and this is across the board on all supported databases. The database must be UTF-8. It cannot be UTF-16, or it cannot be the local machine encoding of the code page. The reason for that is mainly for data storing purpose, and also to not get into the complexity of data conversion between different platforms and different databases. So it's been adopted that WSRR pretty much only supports UTF-8 for database. If you don't have that, if your database is created using local encoding or a different encoding and code page, it is going to fail immediately right out of the box. It's going to fail with a validation exception. This exception would occur again in systemout.log, and it clearly states that WSRR could not validate your database. It really doesn't matter if you could have created your database and the tables and run all the scripts, but we have a check in place before the product starts and even as the product is installing to confirm that the database adheres to this requirement of UTF-8. UTF-16 is not supported, even though you might think that it's a superset. There's some differences in UTF-16 in the way it handles the Indian-ness, which is the bit encoding and the bit level structures. So UTF-16, we've had this question several times, if UTF-16 can be used, and it cannot. WSRR only supports UTF-8. Moving on to chart 14, the next problem is actually Oracle-specific. This is, again, we are kind of covering all the database-related issues that we've generally encountered or users have encountered. And this is an Oracle-specific problem, and it goes back to, again, UTF-8 versus UTF-16. Specifically, for Oracle, we require that the parameter NLS NCHAR character set must be set to UTF-8. This is due to a field within one of the scripts. The script name is here at the top, create WSRR tables 2.sql. This script has a field that uses a field length of 4,000 and and which causes a problem if you use UTF-16, resulting in this exception. So if you're an Oracle user, if your business uses Oracle and you're installing and configuring WSRR, keep in mind that these two parameters, the NLS character set must be UTF-8, and the NLS NCHAR character set must be UTF-8 as well. Another important point to note is schema and database names must be 8 characters or less than 8 characters, and that is, I believe, a requirement as well. We've seen issues when more than 8 characters are used, and Kailash, if I'm not mistaken, it is true for all databases, not just Oracle, right?
Yeah, that is correct.
Correct. So, thank you. So, yes, it is true across the board for all databases we support. We recommend that you use database names and schema names of 8 characters length or less than that. Moving on to the next database-related problem that we've most commonly seen, this is on chart 14. For those of you who are following the hard copy, so we are on chart 15 now, and this problem is, while we have seen this problem within the scope of WSRR's usage of SIBUS, this is a very SIBUS-specific problem, and what the problem is, if you have installed, and I'm going to kind of frame this topic around WSRR because that's what we're discussing. If you have installed WSRR and subsequently for any reason you had to clean your database, keep in mind WSRR as a part of installation actually creates the SIBUS tables for you, and for any reason due to migration or due to reinstallation or due to changes in your database, if you have to wipe out your database and start from scratch using the same database, then the messaging engine created will go out of sync because it will be having a UUID that doesn't match with the data store, and the data store at this point is empty because the data has been wiped out. We've seen this mostly occur if there are installation problems, and then you kind of rerun the installation, and it causes this problem. The solution, the way to fix this is SIBUS tables. If you see this problem, what we recommend is you drop the SIBUS tables that you hand created, if you did, and you actually go back to creating those tables from within the admin console. And the path for creation is specified on this chart. I'm not going to read it out, as you can see it for yourself. Moving on to chart 16, I do want to show you, though, the path and the option for you to create the tables from within the admin console. And this is the box that is highlighted, that's checked with the property of create tables. And once you check that box, WSRR, or I can probably say WebSphere, because this is WebSphere functionality, once you check this box and you restart the server, it will go back and create the SIBUS tables for you and ensure that the UUID in WebSphere will synchronize with the UUID in database, resolving the problem. And the exception is a SIBUS exception that, as with other exceptions, you can see this in the systemout.log for the WSRR profile. Moving on to, we've covered a number of database-specific problems, and I just have a couple of more to talk about here. The next, we're on chart 17, and the next exception I've listed here is a little bit out of sync because it's a very generic exception, not specific to database, but I wanted to cover it for the sake of completeness. After a new install of WSRR, when you just completed the install and created the profile, the first startup will result in this exception GSR 0526E. This is an exception that we expect, because what it really is while the profile is fine and the server is started, you don't have the WSR configuration profile loaded into the database. So if you come across this, be aware that this is a known exception. It is, you can expect this exception to occur, and all it is suggesting is that the configuration profile is missing. You can load your custom configuration profile through the WSRR console. At this point, you would be able to bring up the console. Either you can load the default or the governance enabled profile, which are the two we ship out of the box, or you can load your custom profile. And once you have loaded, you don't really need to restart the server, because the exception will not occur on the next occurrence of a server restart. Moving on to the next profile-related problem, this is an exception with Oracle. It is specific to Oracle, and we wanted to cover this because we've seen a lot of users encounter this, and this actually resulted in a product defect. Or there is a workaround in the way you load the profile after you initially install and create a WSRR server. The exception is pretty much listed on the chart. It's ORA00922. And we do have a defect raised fixed in FixPack 1. So if you are at FixPack 1, you should not see this. If you prefer an iFix on version 7.5 base, I'm sure we can get one for you. You just have to request through the normal support process. Or if you want to use the workaround, then you can load the governance enabled profile first and then try and then go back to basic profile. At that point, it should resolve the exception. Moving on to chart 18. This is SQL Server specific exception. We are, again, still talking about database exceptions, very generic, as well as DB2 specific, Oracle specific, and this is the one we have seen pretty much most of the SQL Server database environments using WSRR appears to have come across this exception, where we seem to insist that the WSRR product requires the schema name to be in uppercase, and it does not accept lowercase. Turned out to be a defect, and very recently, actually, as recent as a week ago, I believe, this was resolved and fixed through APAR IV07917. We do not have any, we do not have an outlook in terms of when this is going to be rolled into a fixed pack. Most likely, this is going to be into fixed pack 2. Meanwhile, if you're a SQL Server user, I definitely recommend you call us and request an iFix for this, because the way this exception manifests is even if you were to use an uppercase on this panel, and to take a minute and talk about this panel, this is the panel you'll see when you're deploying Whizzer in a federated topology or in a cluster topology. And I apologize, I didn't mention that when I started to talk about this point. It is specific to federated topology or cluster, and which is most of the environments we work with. We've seen users normally use those environments. And you get this panel from the admin console when you deploy Whizzer, which is, you know, service registry. And you can get past this by providing uppercase as a schema name, but subsequently the problem manifests in many different ways when you're using the product. If you're using service discovery or promotion or loading configuration profile, you will start to see similar exceptions in system out log complaining about schema name not being correct. So So if you're a SQL Server user, I would recommend you get a fix for this problem from us before you really install the product. Moving on to chart 19, we've covered a whole bunch of database-related problems, known problems, and solutions. And let's take a minute and talk about some other problems, specifically business space. Business space is a component that is shipped with WSRR, and WSRR provides a number of widgets that run on business space. The problem that we've seen across multiple users is the business space, after installation and configuration, business space does not come up, as in when the user uses the business space URL, which is HTTP, host name, port number, and business space, you get a blank screen. You do not see the portal with the various default widgets. The problem, and to go along with that, SystemOut would show that the theme could not be found for BSpace. That's the BSpace theme not found. You'll see an exception to that effect. The reason for this behavior goes back to the way that the installation was performed, and again, this is specific to federated and clustered topologies. In federated and clustered topologies, it's very important that you augment the node with managed.wsrr template, and it's important because this template under the covers augments, it does two things. It augments WSRR and it augments business space. If you haven't augmented with this template, and if you deployed WSRR from the deployment manager, for example, if you augmented the deployment manager and deployed WSRR to the node through the deployment manager, that is not sufficient. I mean, that's going to cause you a lot of headaches, a lot of problems, because that is not the correct way to install WSRR. So it's important that you, in a federated and cluster, you actually augment the node with managed WSRR template, and you also augment the deployment manager with dmanager, dmgr.wsrr template. One way to check what augments are existing for a node is, again, this is WebSphere, standard WebSphere information that I'm passing on to you. One way to check the augments is by looking at the profile registry.xml file. It's an XML file, but it's very easily readable in any text editor. It's available under the properties directory under the root installation, the WebSphere or WSRR installation. So up until now, we've covered the logs, the installation manager problems, and quite a few of database-related issues, and briefly touched upon one business space problem. We have a few more problems to cover, known issues to cover, and we're going to focus on StudioNav, and for that I will pass back to Kailash for him to talk to us about Studio problems.
All right, let's move on to slide 20.
We are on chart 20, and I will Prasad here, and I will continue. WSRR Studio, as you know, is a part of WSRR product. It is a component which is used to generate profiles and customize profiles. The most common problem we've seen with the Studio is when Studio is connecting using a secure connection, as in if your WSRR server is secure, then the Studio will require the SSL certificates, this is the TrustStore and KeyStore certificates, to actually connect to a remote WSRR. And these are important. You'll need to actually get the key files, the SSL key files, from the remote server and point the Studio to the files. I believe there is an option in connection to actually
use the key store and trust store files required for the server, and it comes up in the properties page where you give the host name and port number and the authentication, the user ID and password. And once you have those details, your studio would be able to connect and publish to the server. You will see some glaring exceptions. This is not going to be in a log. You would see some glaring exceptions if you're missing connectivity. It'll be a pop-up saying failed to establish a secure connection to the server. Moving on to the next studio problem that we've seen, this is specific to Linux, where the problem really is an exception. It's a zip exception, and it is due to the number of concurrent files that are open. And Kailash briefly touched upon the ulimit earlier on in the presentation, and it is adjusted using the ulimit, and pretty much the problem is to do with studio failing to start, and the exception would show up as a zip exception. And moving on to chart 21, do you have anything to add to this, Kailash, the zip exception?
Yeah, sure. One of the things, like, I have seen this zip exception, you'll see on the screen, as well as it is logged to the .log file, which the studio workspace uses. So it will be there, as well as you'll see it as a pop-up on the screen. And let's move on to slide number 21. The other errors that you see is most of the times I have seen customers come to me and say that the studio throws an out-of-memory error. The text that is there, like, you know, that you'll see on the pop-up is, or even in your .log file, is it says an out-of-memory error has occurred and consult your running Eclipse section of the README file. Because WSRR Studio is an Eclipse application, typically the Eclipse map, min and max heap sizes are set to standard. So if you're running WSRR Studio and you have many artifacts, and if your studio runs out of memory, what you can do is you can increase your min and max Java heap sizes with the -vm args option to WSRR Studio. And the command is wsrrstudio.exe with the -vm args, and you will specify -xms256m for 256 meg low minimum heap size, and the max heap size you can increase up to 2 gig if you're on a 32-bit Windows or Unix platforms. So you can increase it. Here I have shown that I've increased it to 512, but based on what your settings are, you can keep increasing and check, like, you know, where Eclipse is happy. All right, as I mentioned, most of the studio error logs are in your workspace, whichever workspace that you have designated under .metadata.log, as usual, as it is standard with any other Eclipse product. All right, moving on to slide 22, I think, like, you know, we have come to the end of the presentation. Here is a brief, some of the links that we have put down here. One is for installation and profile creation messages. This is the Info Center link where you will have a bunch of error messages that you commonly see that we have not covered. If any that are not covered, you can find them here. And the next link is the system requirements. Most of the customers ask us whether this product runs on this particular platform and what are the databases required, what database versions. The SOE page, or Supported Operating Environment page, lists all the platforms and all the database versions that WSRR 7.5 has been tested with. And whenever we do a system test, say, for example, with a fixed pack 1, this page gets updated, so you will have the latest information there on all the platforms, databases, and WAS versions that it runs on. Another important link that I want to point out is the WSRR portal, which is given here. This portal page contains a lot of good information. It will give you information about what WSRR is all about, and there is a link for learning resources, which will link you to lots of DeveloperWorks articles that are related to WSRR and Business Space that are written mostly by our development and Level 3. So I would encourage everybody to visit this page, so you'll get a lot of mileage out of this. And the other one is the WSRR forums. It's a public forum where most of the customers and WSRR users and our IBM WSRR consultants pose a lot of questions there, or pose, like, you know, what their problems are before they open PMRs. And most of our development Level 3, and including, like, you know, we generally answer the questions there. So if you're encountering a problem, and if you want to, like, you know, see in the middle of the night or late in the night, you want to see that you don't get to a support representative, that you don't want to open a PMR, check the forums. You'll find a lot of good information. People have encountered errors before, how to resolve it, so on and so forth. All right, I think that is the end of the presentation, so I'll hand it over to Joe, and we will take any questions.
Thank you, Prasad and Kailash, for a great presentation. At this point in time, Jackie, we would like to open the lines for questions.
And we have no questions on the phone.
Thank you, Jackie. We will conclude the presentation at this point in time.